airplanes on the morning of September 11th, and they flew them into buildings, and that is the government's conspiracy theory. But it is only a theory, because they've never allowed any of the real information to be brought forward. They are still, the information is classified. If anybody were to reveal that information without government permission, they would go to prison. Who are we concealing that information from? Are we concealing it from Osama bin Laden, who's living in a cave somewhere? As you know, I believe he's been dead for some time, but and you go up on the internet and type in Osama bin Laden dead, you'll get, I think, a couple of million hits there, a couple of million sites where it's been covered. Everybody throughout the rest of the world knows he's dead, but we can't tell the American people, because we have to have a boogeyman. We have to have someone to fear. After all, didn't Osama bin Laden attack us on September 11th, or did he? Sophia, thank you so very much for being with us tonight. Sophia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you so very much for being with us tonight. And because how did you get interested in actually producing a motion picture on 9-1-1?
Last summer, my friend Brad and I, Brad, as you may remember, is the conservative Republican who opens the video. He gives a little introduction. And he and I managed to get a two-hour presentation to a theater in Hollywood in Los Angeles. And this show was also called 9/11 Mysteries, and it consisted of four parts: demolitions, hijackers and war games, and who benefits. And we had many requests for a DVD. We had a six-week run at that theater, but there were many people worldwide who emailed us and said, do you have any record of this? Can you put it on a DVD? So I undertook the project of creating the DVD, or the movie, as you might call it, and never knew how big an elephant it was going to be. But you have to do those things in little bites.
Yes, you certainly do, and because it's such an important issue, and the average American would like to believe that we've been told the truth. But of course, as you've analyzed this, do you think the government story is true, or do you think that they're concealing the truth from the American people?
Well, honestly, I don't put forth my opinion. I prefer to just present facts as they are available to us.
And of course, as you, one of the things there, if you watch the pictures, and you'll see, of course, the pictures of the North Tower. I assume it's the North Tower where people are hanging out the windows and standing there hoping that for it to be rescued. And then you see beneath them these squids of smoke coming up at every level, at three or four levels from the three or four levels of the building before them, almost as if there's a smoke being explosively extruded from the windows. And when we get back, we're going to ask Sophia about those plumes of smoke coming out from the building, and about so much more that she brings out in her excellent video, 9-1-1 Mysteries. Well, Sophia, why don't you sort of pick up this story? Certainly, as you evaluated it, what were all those plumes of smoke coming out from the windows of many stories below where the level of the building is collapsing?
What were they?
Yes, what were they? What did they represent?
Well, squids are technically explosive. They're also, the same term refers to the jets of concrete that are emitted as the explosive fires within the building. So it's sort of like it's a two-part term. It refers to the explosive itself and the concrete that you see coming out of the building. So possibly they were gutting sections of the building. See, this was a very tall skyscraper. It was actually three buildings on top of each other, and they were separated by sky lobbies, which had heavy reinforcement because they constituted effectively the base of another whole building. So the collapse had to be kept going, and therefore they had to shoot sections of the building ahead of the collapse wave to make sure that it didn't stall at any point, most likely.
And so basically what you're really seeing, and anybody who watches this movie, we will be carrying the movie because we think it's important, you'll actually see these almost like a stream of powdered concrete shooting out of windows at three or four levels below the level of collapse. Is that right?
Yes. And if you look at the squibs, you'll note that they're all central in their placement. They're not random or accidental. The official story says, when official people are questioned about the squibs, they'll tell you that this is an airtight building, which is stretching the term. The building wasn't a vacuum, per se, but it was sealed off. It didn't have windows that opened. So, anyway, they tell you it's airtight, and as the building is collapsing, all this air has to go somewhere. So it chooses to come centrally out of the building in these few spots. That's very hard to believe.
And I really think another thing, this idea that it was actually three buildings, each one bottled on top of the other, and didn't they actually have separations there where you actually took your elevator up to a certain floor, and then you had to get off that elevator and get onto another elevator?
Right. That's what sky lobbies are. They're lobbies in the sky. So they had to... There was only one central elevator shaft. A freight elevator shaft ran all the way up and down the building. But the normal elevators required stepping off and getting back on again.
All right, fine. Of course, they tried to explain the explosion of the lobby down there by the fact that the fuel had gone all the way down the elevator shaft and kind of the lobby, and that's because the explosion there. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Sophia, and we're talking about her DVD, 911 Mysteries. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for her, I'm sure she wouldn't mind answering that. But this is a very provocative movie because you'll actually hear people being interviewed who will tell you that there were explosions in the buildings. Certainly there were a number of people who felt there were explosions in the buildings, weren't there?
That's right. There were many witnesses who testified, even in front of the 9/11 Commission, interestingly, that they heard and saw explosions. Many of the firefighters and the medics and the policemen, along with plenty of civilians, reported sounds of explosions. They saw flashes. They saw pops. They saw glass blowing out. I mean, all the terminology used to describe the collapse by people who were actually there and experienced it relate to explosions and explosion language. I mean, this is what people reached for and searched for as they tried to describe it.
But of course, the interesting thing was that the 911 Commission sealed off most of the testimony before the 911 Commission. They had 1,200 people testify, and they only had, in secret. And that is all still secret. I mean, I don't know how many people actually testified in public, probably not more than maybe 40 or 50, and that testimony... we can get off the internet, but all the rest of it is secret. It was sealed for 30 years, and who are they sealing it from? They want to keep Osama bin Laden from knowing what these people said in secret before the 911 Commission?
I think it's the nature of making people believe that there's something very important here that only they are privy to know. All this classified stuff gets declassified 30 years later, and I've always wondered why. If it was so precious 30 years ago, why doesn't it just remain like that?
Well, I think, of course, the important thing is for the American people to realize that what happened on 9/11 was responsible for our going to war with Afghanistan, and we're still at war with Afghanistan 5 years later. Going to war with Iraq, and we're still at war with Iraq 3.5 years later. With no end in sight in either war. And so we really need to know, were we legitimately right when we attacked Afghanistan? Were we right when we attacked Iraq? Or maybe there really is no Muslim conspiracy intent upon destroying the West, and maybe this is all contrived for an entirely different purpose. So the question is, what really happened on 9/11? And certainly, what were some of the things that you thought were the most important things that are brought out in this video?
Well, as I studied blasting, to the extent that I could, I talked to a few people in the industry. This is a very contained and difficult to reach industry, the controlled demolition industry. They're very experienced, they're very highly respected and regarded, and they're great people. but they are not willing to talk openly about 9/11, which I find very interesting.
I mean, they wouldn't tell you what they thought. I mean, did they verify the government's position, or were they afraid to talk? Because I think many people are frankly afraid to talk about what they know.
Well, the answers given to me, and I put also, I had Stephen Jones on the phone on one of these interviews, you know, the professor who was at Brigham Young University.
Right.
And Brad was on the phone as well. But the answers being given were very much the thin, weak, unbelievable answers that have been proffered to us by the government.
Oh, no, but these were people coming from people, these were answers from people in the demolition industry?
Yes. And you could tell that there was something else going on. So it was pointless to keep asking because you kept getting answers that made no sense.
Well, I think one only has to see Building Number 7 come down. And, you know, I don't even like to talk about the Twin Towers coming down because people always point to this extensive government document. But the Building Number 7, after 5 years of study and having access to all the secret records, which are still secret, and nobody's allowed to see them except this one government committee that says that, of course, this was just all because of the fires in the building, the Twin Towers, but they don't even address the Building 7, do they?
No, it's not apparently mentioned in the 9/11 Commission report. It's one of those things that even a lot of the public isn't very interested in. Some people are. For them, that's the smoking gun. I find it interesting that people come to 9/11 from many different portals or windows or doors. Anything can bring you in, and different things bring different people in. And once you're in, there's so much to learn.
Yes, and he has. And of course, the thing is that I believe that 9/11 is the smoking gun. I mean, you know, you can look at the Twin Towers coming down. You're not really sure. Maybe the government story is right, but I look at that Building 7 coming down. And it's not the thing starts at the top and crumbles. It isn't hit by a plane at all. There's some fires in there, but this is not enough to take that building down. It's simply the whole base of the building explodes, and the building falls into its own shadow. That is a controlled demolition. And if you is that your impression when you see it, or do you want to even hazard a guess?
Well, again, I'm not an expert. My job was simply to gather information and present it alongside the mythic information that was given to us. So I gathered real analysis and I juxtaposed the two, and I offer it to the public to make up their own mind.
All right, fine. But certainly you do present some very, very interesting interviews with people who heard of what they believe are explosions.
Well, of course, yes. And the sequence of stages in a controlled demolition directly correlates with the types of explosions mentioned by witnesses at the Twin Towers. People who survived the collapse, people who were outside and reported what they heard and saw, and firefighters who were inside hearing pops and blasts as they were trying to evacuate people. There is a stage process to setting the controlled demolition, and those stages occur in the short history of the demise of the Twin Towers. They're exactly parallel.
And of course, the situation as far as the lobby of the North Tower, and those of you seen the pictures of it, you know, there have been a number of television documentaries, and of course they point out that there was this explosion in the lobby of the North Tower. And it says that this came because of the building, the plane flying in, I don't know, 70 or 80 floors above, but certainly there are many, many stories from several people about the explosions in the basement that came before the plane hit the North Tower. Have you talked to some people, you know, about the explosion in the basement?
Right. William Rodriguez is perhaps the most famous of all the witnesses. He is, in fact, called the last survivor. He was the last person alive to exit the North Tower before it fell. And as you know, the North Tower fell after the South Tower. So he becomes the last survivor of 9/11. And earlier in the day at about 8:45 in the morning, just about the same time the plane struck the North Tower. He was in the basement talking to a supervisor, and he felt, both of them, all of them, everyone who was there, felt this tremendous detonation underfoot. And 9 seconds later, there was another large explosive sound which occurred from way above their heads. So that was the plane hitting the tower. But of note is the fact that this very large explosion occurred underground in the sub-basement before the plane hit the tower.
Now, how could we possibly explain an explosion in the basement before the plane hit the tower if the plane hitting the tower is what's responsible for the explosions?
Right. And perhaps those two were meant to be exactly coincident with each other, and they missed. You know, so I think the same thing occurred in the South Tower. Scott Forbes reported to me in a subsequent interview that one of his co-workers upon the South Tower, actually it was the North Tower was hit, and the South Tower was hit 15 minutes later. So in that 15-minute time period, there were an awful lot of people who ran for the elevators to get out of the South Tower. And this guy was one of them, and he caught an elevator down. Many people were held up because there were all kinds of mobs at the elevators. But this guy got to the lobby of the South Tower just when the plane hit the South Tower, I think it was 78 floors above. And what happened in the lobby of the South Tower? The same thing that we see on video in the North Tower. We have only one video of that. The marble fell off the walls, the light all came, the glass all was blown out, everything. Same thing.
And of course, the thought is that this comes from an explosion in the sub-basement rather than coming from above.
Exactly. It was meant to be timed with the plane hitting so that people would, in their simplistic way, conclude that, well, the reverberation that went through the building when the plane struck it way up top must have caused all this to happen.
But, of course, the thing is, sometimes the best laid plans of mice and men oft time go astray, and apparently there were separate explosions, one in the sub-basement and then one when the plane hit in both the North and the South Tower. And the fact that William Rodriguez testified before the 911 Commission to that, and they sealed his testimony. They would not allow him to testify in public. William Rodriguez has not been able to get another job. In fact, he ended up sleeping under a bridge for a time. He was hailed as a hero, but every time he tried to get a job, something would happen. And you have to ask yourself why. Is it because he was speaking out and trying to tell the truth? Is it because he wasn't telling the truth? It was all making it up? It was almost as if there was a coordinated effort to destroy him. I've talked to William Rodriguez within the last 4 weeks and get a copy of my interview with him. But I think he's a very honest individual who loves America, who is a witness to one of the most terrible betrayals in all of history. And they've done everything they could to destroy William Rodriguez and his story, and it's sealed for 30 years. Well, Sophia, have you run into anybody else who's come under pressure from because of these that actually talked about what happened? Certainly, William Rodriguez has had a very, very hard time since he was the last survivor out of the building.
Have I run into people? I believe that I haven't personally run into anyone, but of course, now that I've made this movie, I've gotten lots of feedback. I believe the firefighters in New York are unwilling to talk. They either have been told to say that the towers collapsed due to the failure of the steel, or they believe it, which I find difficult to believe myself.
Well, I think, Sophia, that most people really want to believe that, you know, that people are inherently good and that nobody would ever stage something like this to get us into war, because it is just too disturbing to believe that could happen. It would take somebody who would be awfully crass and indifferent to human suffering to allow that and then to try to cover this up, and it would be so complicated to do if they really had contrived this whole thing. On the other hand, I know a couple of people who have actually been forced to leave the country or living and hiding in other countries today because they tried to bring out the truth about what really happened that day. Well, you know, certainly some of the, what are some of the other major and salient things that you that you would think that people will learn from seeing your film, 911 Mysteries?
Well, the film starts with the myth, the official story you could call it, some of the very flimsy reasons given for why the towers could have come down, and then it goes through scientific analysis, and it ends up in the territory of the players. And I would just remind people that players that we see are low-level players. This was a very high-level, you could call it plot or plan, and I'm sure that it involved many, many entities. But there's also a lot of evidence that the film brings out that hasn't really been discussed before, certainly not in another movie. And therefore, the discussion of why the towers might have come down has been advanced by this particular movie, which I'm happy about, because I don't believe we should just be rehashing the same material over and over. When we introduce actually new material and get to a new level of argument, then that helps us a little bit. It helps people to understand, gives us a little more of a thorough view of all of this. One of the things I point out in the movie are the slurry walls. There was a large 3-foot-thick retaining wall called the bathtub built underground zero to keep that the water, slurry is a mix of mud and water, to keep this very slippery soil or mud from undermining the foundations of the World Trade Center. So the slurry walls were enormous, and they were found to have shifted 18 inches inward because there was nothing holding them in place from the inside. So the basements, 7 stories of basements, had been blown up, which correlates with what people said. They heard and felt those explosions. And there were people who didn't live to talk about the sub-basement explosions because they died in them.
And I think that that's really what's so important, is the fact that there were explosions in the basement, and that fact has been, I believe, intensely concealed. And that is, of course, why William Rodriguez's testimony, taken by the 911 Commission, was concealed from the American people.
And another thing I'd like...
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Sophia, and of course she's put out a video called 911 Mysteries. We're going to be carrying the video. In fact, have you sent those to us?
Yes, I have.
Thank you so very much. We actually have some orders for them already, having talked about them on our other programs. She's actually put out this great video, 911 Mysteries, that actually covers a lot of things you won't see in any of the other films. And she's simply pointing out that they created this massive, they called it sort of like a bathtub with 3-foot walls down in the basement, the sub-basement. It went down about 5 floors. And this was to hold out, of course, the water from the East River. But those walls had shifted because, of course, the explosions in the basement apparently had then taken away the support for those walls and then shifted inward. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, the walls were reinforced with what's known as tiebacks initially, and then they took those out when they actually set the building itself, the lower levels, into that bathtub, as they called it. But when all those basements were blown, then they crumbled and the walls started coming in. So something happened, some enormous force disrupted 7 stories of basements at World Trade Center 1 and 2. So this is of note. You know, what did that? If the thing had just collapsed, the foundation should have been all right because they were always bearing the weight of the building. But a pancake collapses, if you say it, you know, clunkety, 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 clunk, 110 times. How long is that going to take you to say? It's going to take you more than 10 seconds. These buildings came down in 10 seconds. That's almost free fall speed. They're falling through their own mass. They're not falling through air. So for them to come down, which is absolute fact, we have it on video and thousands of people saw it with their bare eyes, to have them come down in 10 seconds means that something was blowing all the floors out of the way.
And I think that really is, of course, one of the most important things. You have to understand that even if they were talking about the pancaking effect, there would be a certain amount of resistance so that they would not fall at the rate of gravity. There would be some resistance along the way as this was collapsing. But there was no resistance. And, of course, if you see the video that Sophia has produced, and you'll actually see the squids of pulverized cement. And how do you pulverize cement? I mean, I can imagine breaking it up, but to pulverize it? And what happened to the 1,100 bodies that have never been found from the Twin Towers? And nobody ever really wants to talk about that, do they?
Right. And pieces of human bones, very small pieces, half an inch long, have been found on the rooftops of neighboring buildings. So that, you have to ask yourself, how do bone fragments get shot 400 feet across the street when a building is just collapsing on itself? And then enormous pieces of steel weighing 600,000 pounds, that's the weight of two Boeing airliners, were flung across the street and sticking out of neighborhood buildings like so many darts. What throws such a heavy piece of steel into the building across the street like a dart? That's a force. That's an energy ejecting that steel clear across the street.
And of course the thing is, of course, even if it did pancake, what actually destroyed the central core of that building, which was 47 heavy pieces of steel, these I-beam construction that were the major source of support for the building? How were those? I mean, we don't see those sticking up afterwards. How were they able to cut across those simply in the process of pancaking?
Right. There are so many questions, hundreds and hundreds of questions. On my website, 911mysteries.com, not only can you see the video, it's not a high-resolution version, it's much nicer, of course, to have the DVD, but I have created something called the Independent Thinker's 9/11 Fact Sheet. And there are only 10 facts that I've printed up, but they're very simple, and they are the beginning to hundreds of other facts, none of which add up. And what I find isn't... I'll wait...
No, Google right ahead. I'll tell you. Believe me, I'll cut you off when you have to. Go ahead.
Okay. If you follow the government story into all of its rabbit holes and trails, it falls apart. If you follow this alternative theory, it all starts to add up.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, why, give us a call. We'll be back here in just a moment with Sophia right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Sophia, and we're just talking about what really happened on 9/11. You say that you have about 10 points that you think it's important for people to follow. What would those be?
The first one is that no steel building has ever collapsed due to fire before or since 9/11, interestingly.
And first, it's interesting, it's not just the Twin Towers, but it's Building 7. And then it's Building 3, 4, 5, and 6, where the central part of those buildings completely collapsed. There was a little of the exterior strain, but the whole inside of those buildings just fell in. Nobody ever asked those questions. Why did this happen? No other steel building has ever collapsed, reinforced steel building. Why did these all collapse? Not one, not two, but seven buildings fell that day.
I'd also like to point out something else that occurred to me not too long ago, and I think people have asked this question, but I'd like to bring it into the open. If indeed the buildings collapse because of structural steel failure or poor design, then where was the civil lawsuit? Why was the lawsuit not filed against the architect, the engineers, the steel manufacturers, underwriters' laboratories that certified the steel, and all the builders, all the subcontractors. Where is that lawsuit? Normally, when construction defect occurs, there's a big lawsuit filed, and all the people who collaborated in putting the structure up have to defend themselves. They have to prove that the building was not defective. So if this suit was filed, if it had been filed, the burden of proof on the defendants would have been to show that the building did not collapse due to structural failure, that it was sound. And they would have had to show that the building collapsed some other way. There were other factors involved. We've never seen that civil lawsuit. Why not?
Good question. Excellent question. Well, there are a lot of good questions. What were some of the other major questions that you had? You said you had 10 of them. And I think that, you know, if you make it too complicated, why, you lose people. And so I like to keep it, I like that old phrase, keep it simple, stupid, I think is the best way to go. And I'm not referring to you as stupid, but just for the average individual, don't make it too complicated. There are only a few major points that you have to raise to point out that everything we're told just isn't true. So what were some of the others?
Well, one of the other points is that cell phone calls cannot be made successfully from a plane at high altitude, which is 30,000 feet. And Professor A.K. Dewdney in Canada, who is a remarkable human being, he wrote a column for Scientific American for 8 years.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back here in just a moment, Sophia. Right later. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening is Sophia, and of course her video is 911 Mysteries, and we carry this, and it is available through Radio Liberty, and we'll tell you later how you can get that. But of course, you were asked, Sophia, about these 10 points that she has on her website. And she was had mentioned, of course, one of these questions that she raises, I don't know if it's one of the 10, but you would anticipate that if there was a defective building, if the steel was defective, if the design was defective, if the building wasn't built right, and that's why this building collapsed when no other buildings of steel with steel, reinforced steel construction have ever collapsed, then there would be a lawsuit against these people. But as she points out, there's never been a lawsuit against the architects, against the inspectors, against the people who provided the steel, against the subcontractors. No lawsuits. Obviously, they don't think that there was anything wrong with the building as such. And then she was raising the question about cell phone calls. You remember, of course, right after 911, we were told about all these cell phone calls made from Flight 93, and let's roll, and there's Todd Beamer leading the charge on the hijackers who've seized the cockpit, and from the other flights they're calling, and they're flying about 30,000 feet, and they're putting in cell phone calls to say, hey, we've been hijacked. In fact, there's one fellow supposedly called his mother, and he said, this is your son, so-and-so. You do believe me, Mom, that this is your son calling you, don't you? Sounds a little strange for people to call their mother, you know, from a hijacked plane and asking if the mother knows who the caller is. Go ahead, pick up the story there.
The Todd Beamer story or the cell phone call story? Yes,
the cell phone call. Go ahead and pick up the story there.
Cell phone calls begin to fail at about 4,000 feet, if you're lucky enough even to have connection at that point. So at 30,000 feet, there's no possibility of getting connection from a cell phone, mainly because the towers are not sending their signals up into the sky. Why would they? Most of the calls we make are from the ground. So also there's something called signal handoff from tower to tower, and a plane is flying at 500 plus miles an hour, so signal handoff becomes a big problem with speeds like that. So we were told that there were cell phone calls made, and we were also told that there were hijackers within, you know, a day or so of the event. And while it's important to remember that no official agency, the FAA, the FBI, or the airlines, ever released a list of the 9/11 passengers. Ever. Ever. Our passenger lists come from the media, and they're all incomplete. But within hours, we had a list from the FBI of the hijackers.
That was really an amazing bit of detective work when they've been so totally incompetent after that, and yet within just a relatively few hours, they knew who all the hijackers were and by, you know, I think 36 or 48 hours, they had pictures of them, their life history, and that really was amazing.
Right. And number three, multiple air defense drills were planned for the morning of 9/11. These exercises left only two fighter jets available to protect the entire northeastern United States. Only two. And Alex Jones, in his video, Terror Storm, I believe it is, talks about the odds that an event that you're practicing, namely war games involving planes hitting buildings, would actually occur on the same day that you were practicing the drill. It's in the... I don't even know, but I'll just say zillions, okay? The number is so astronomically small, there's no possibility that this event would occur on the very same day you were practicing a war game for it.
And I think this is really what's so important, and this was covered up by the Joint Select Intelligence Committee, headed by Porter Goss and Bob Graham, the initial investigation, and then by the 911 Commission. They totally suppressed the fact that there were war games held, military exercises held that morning that simulated hijacking planes, and so that there were all sorts of false images put on the radar screens at the FAA and NORAD. And at one time, at least according to a recent report in Vanity Fair magazine, where a man named Michael Bronner talked to one of the people from a colonel from the military, who admitted they were tracing 29 hijackings that morning. Somebody was implanting false images on the television screens, on the radar screens, and the chance that that could have happened just by chance, either Osama bin Laden's a lot smarter than we've given him credit for, or somebody's lying to us. Would that be a fair assumption?
Well, again, I don't use words like lie and crime and all that because they exclude people who aren't all over the argument to begin with. So I prefer to say that couldn't be happening.
All right, fine.
I mean, it's just semantics, but you know, I want to keep my neutral diplomatic position here, because it will invite, in the end, more people into the debate.
And you do an excellent job of it, Sophia. I'm not trying to pin you down at all. You go right ahead.
It's not that I'm waffling. I just prefer it stylistically to speak this way. So here, we have your favorite. Number four is Building 7. 6.5 seconds at 5:20 p.m. comes down in a heap on the ground in the exact manner of a controlled demolition, but it was never hit by a plane.
Now, Sophia is saying, that building came down in 6.5 seconds. I mean, here's a 46-story building that collapses in 6.5 seconds. Do you honestly believe that happens? And I've watched those films over and over again. And you can see the center of the building begin to collapse. Yeah, the center of the building at the top begins to collapse. That's what you do with a controlled demolition. If you don't collapse the center core of the building, it'll tend to fall out to the sides. You collapse it centrally, and then it falls inward into its own shadow. So I think the Building 7, to me, is the smoking gun.
Yes, you and many other people believe that that's all you need to know, even. I mean, that's all you need to look at, and it's true. But the public, they are romantic idiots in many ways. They want to know about the Twin Towers. Not Building 7, because that wasn't the Twin Towers. But now here's something. I was in the grocery store today, and I encountered a clerk who I've said hello to for the last year or two, and I told her about the movie 9/11 Mysteries, and I handed her one of these little fact sheet postcards. I said, here are 10 facts about 9/11. She said, oh, and she gave it a brief glance, and I told her a little more about the movie. I said, read these facts. And she goes, oh, are they real facts? I said, facts are facts. I didn't make them up.
I think that's a good idea. How can people get those postcards from you?
Oh, they order them. Well, I haven't actually posted them on the website yet, but as of tomorrow, I think they'll be up. 911weknow.com.
Okay.
So, yes, I'm selling them for 10 cents a piece. So for 10 cents, you can give a penny a fact, you know, of these real facts, let me remind you. Real facts.
Okay, we've got a board full of people here, so let's go to that first one. Is, of course, Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, did you have a question for Sophia?
Yes, I did. And first, I'd just like to say thank you, Sophia, for making that movie. I think it's a very important one. And one of the reasons I say that is because yours is the only one I know of that shows the actual cut columns.
Yes.
And I wonder if you can just talk about that a bit.
Right. Well, in the demolition industry, linear shaped charges are used. These detonate at 3 million pounds per square inch, and they are used to basically blast steel columns apart so that the fall of the building can be controlled. And the very large steel core beams are pre-cut, in fact, by the shape charges as the demolition goes off directly after. And I mean directly, we're talking milliseconds. But they often place a shape charge at an angle on the steel column. And the angle means that the steel will fall in one direction or another. And typically they like the building to fall into itself because they don't want it to harm buildings around it. So amazingly, at ground zero in the rubble, several columns just like this were photographed, cut at an angle. And these were not done after the fact by welders, because Stephen Jones of Brigham Young University has shown the very same pictures to people in the welding business, and they did not know how these rivulets of hardened molten iron could have formed right there at the cut. So it's possible that this compound called thermite might have been used to assist in the detonation, in the shape charges going off. This was a very complex procedure, but what Mike is referring to is the fact that the incontrovertible fact that there were these strange beams cut at angles found and photographed at ground zero after the fact, and that couldn't have been done after the event in the exact same way.
I could comment about the cutting. The slag that appears in the photo and in your footage is, well, some of it, a lot of it's on the outside of the columns, but if that cut had been made with a torch, say by a welder, after the collapse, then the slag would have been on the inside.
Very good point. Yeah. Okay, anything else?
That's enough for now. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to, I guess this must be Michael calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Dr. Stan. Hello, Sophia.
Hi.
Two quick things. Sophia, Carrie invited me to the restaurant Sunday, and I wasn't able to make it, so I missed meeting you. Okay, two quick things. Dr. Stan, first of all, when you were interviewing Sophia, right during the time when she started talking about the bombs in the building, the Internet went dead for about 10 minutes. I didn't hear any of that.
I'm
so
sorry.
Our friends are listening. Secondly, that figure, Sophia, for on Alex Jones' Terror Storm, I don't remember the name. It's something like a hecajillion, but
yeah.
it's a one with 40 zeros behind it.
Right. Okay, I'll memorize that. One
it's
with 40 zeros.
One with 40 zeros, and that's four times the total amount of sand on planet Earth.
That's the chance that they could have had all those ex-military exercises that morning just by chance, corresponding with the 911 attack.
The chances are zero, Dr. Stan.
I know that.
Okay, hey.
No, it is remarkable. Thank you for coming up with that number, at least with the zeros. But I want us all to memorize whatever it is, hegajillion. We should just add it to our lexicon.
Well, I've got a number of copies of Terror Storm. I'll be happy to give you one.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good night, you guys.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye. And our Bye-bye. Next caller is Jack from Michigan. And, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, if you're out there listening and your internet connection is going off, well, it could be just an act of God. One in 100 hexaquadrillion or whatever it is. Anyway, of course, the other thing is, of course, if you can get the full interview by giving us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. But I will hope that you'll want to get the video. It's called 911 Mysteries, and we're carrying that. We think it's an important adjunct to what we already have. Hey, Jack, how are you doing tonight?
Very well, thank you, Dr. Stanley. I would say that the Senate Select Intelligence Committee might appropriately be described as the select disinformation committee, and the internet interruption, I guess they would say either sunspots or maybe, who knows, a squirrel in Ohio biting through the line somewhere.
Probably that's what it was.
Yeah, well, I want to ask the guest if any physicists have come forth to present what must be irrefutable physical laws pertaining to the characteristic nature of the collapse of the towers. In other words, there must be irrefutable physical laws that have been violated to explain that event, as well as did they not ignore the existence of the steel infrastructure, or did they just say that jet fuel burns sufficiently hot to melt all that?
So let's get to Sophia's response to that, because I'm sure that she's talked to a Dr. Stephen Jones, who is a physicist, incidentally, at Brigham Young University, was, and of course he lost his job because he had the courage to speak out. Sophia, the question is, have any physicists looked at this and say, hey, that couldn't have happened. You couldn't have had the collapse at the speed of, at the speed of gravity of a collapse. It just wouldn't happen that way.
Yes. In fact, there are two websites that are scientific websites. One is physics911.net, physics911.net, and there's a scientific panel that has, many of them have written papers that are, not dry scientific type papers, papers for people like us to understand, that clearly explain all their views and theories supported by science, laws of physics, about the collapse of the Twin Towers. And then there's scholarsfor911truth.org, st911.org, and there are papers published there. Probably the most well-known of which is Stephen Jones' original 25-page paper, which he's updated several times. And he goes into all the laws of motion and inertia and whatnot that got violated, amazingly, for the first time in history and the only time in history.
And really, Jack, if you have a chance to go to that website and pull down a Dr. Jones material, that's Scholars for 911. Is it Scholars for 911 Truth or just Scholars 911 Truth?
ST911.org.
ST911.org. Okay, it's the Scholars for Truth website, they have several people writing there for their journal. These are well accomplished scientists, and they say it just couldn't have happened the way we were told.
Well, indeed, Dr. Stan, as Sophia described, the darts being those immensely weighted beams flying through the air and then protruding from adjacent buildings. That's an image that I could never forget as she described it, and that's just physically impossible without, as she said, an immense lateral force.
And of course, the thing that really I think everybody has seen, that those clouds of pulverized cement. You wouldn't get that simply with a pancaking effect. And what happened to the 1,100 bodies that have never been found? Somehow or rather, they were simply vaporized, as was the cement, and we saw the effect of that in the dust. What are your thoughts on that, Sophia? That simply that dust, it's hard to explain that simply with the pancake theory.
Right, and 9/11 Eyewitness, which is a great video by Richard Siegel, they go into the comparison between those very thick ash-laden dust clouds and what is emitted from a volcano. And just think about it. A volcano is a gigantic internal explosion, and it sends out that scudding ash that hugs the ground. It's called pyroclastic flow.
Well, anyway, it's a very, very good video. And, of course, we have a whole flock of them, but we're actually going to be offering 5 videos. Actually, I think people need to see not one, but all 5 of them, ready to get a picture of what's going on.
Indeed.
Thanks very much, Jack. God bless. Bye-bye. All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Here with Sophia, and if you have a question, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Sophia, the hour has just flown by, and I think we could probably keep on going a lot longer, but unfortunately we're not going to be able to, so I want to give you 3 minutes to actually get out your website to wrap up this evening's program.
Thank you. 911mysteries.com, which is a subsite of 911weknow.com. I would love to have people respond to the poll that I've posted on 911weknow. It's very interesting. They're all. It asks, what is your current thinking on 9/11? Where are you in your current thinking? And you see the results of the poll at the same time. I think about 5,000 people have answered the poll already. So please go, please respond, have a look at the website, and certainly get the movie from us or from Dr. Stan himself.
All right, fine. Well, I think, I think that we have to answer the question, what happened there. The question is not, should we stay in Iraq? No, that's what they want us to do, is focus our attention on the situation over there. The important question is, what really happened on September 11th? Because think of the implications. If we have not been told the truth, it means that almost 3,000 American people died unnecessarily, 2,975, something like that. In fact, they kept telling us it was 6,000, but there were 2,700 people who were actually whisked out of the South Tower shortly before it collapsed, where the man in charge there of security at Morgan Stanley, Vic Mascorlum, was told to keep the people at the desk, not to let the people leave the building, and he said, I'm going to disobey the orders, I'm going to get the people out of here, and he got those 2,700 people out, and he was ordered not to. And, of course, was that, were there to be 6,000 people who died, and actually 2,700 people who weren't supposed to escape did escape? We just don't know. But I think we have a right to know, and we need an independent investigation. Do you think we'll ever get one, Sophia?
My guess is as good as yours. I say we have today at hand to work with, and every day we can tell somebody new and invite them into this dialogue. Every day we can make or build consciousness. That's what it's going to take before there's any investigation. It's going to take knowing. This is why I call the website 911weknow. We're making awareness.
And I think it's so vitally important that people realize that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And what happened on 911, whether you believe the official conspiracy theory or you believe the alternative one, is was certainly evil, and we have an obligation to oppose it. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Sten. Sophia, give out your website one more time, if you wouldn't mind, and then we'll let you go.
911mysteries, MYSTERIES.com, and 911weknow.com.
God bless you. Thank you so very much, Sophia, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And I guess this evening has been severe, apparently she had had a very bad experience talking to somebody else in Santa Cruz, a little worried that we might be going to give her a bad time. Of course, I think she's done a great job. I'm indebted to her for the movie, and I share Mike's opinion that we should thank her very much for taking the time. And this is the first in a series of DVDs she's going to be putting out, and we'll certainly carry the others. Now, basically, we carry the 911 Mysteries. You can get that by itself. Or you can get the Alex Jones Terror Storm. Or you can get the 911 Press for the Truth, the story of the Jersey Girls. Or you can get Dave Von Kleiss's a video in plain sight. And, of course, you can get Dave Wagner's The Day That Changed America Forever. The Day That Changed America Forever. They're all available through Radio Liberty, and you get all five of them. It's a special consideration, special price if you're interested. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927, or just get them separately and watch them, or you can get them all together. We call that the 911 special. So, but as you see, all of the various stories, they all come together, and there's one thing they tell you, and that is that there were explosives in those buildings, and that there were explosives in the basement of the buildings that occurred, explosions before the plane hit the top. And if that is indeed the case, I don't think Osama bin Laden planned it. And if Osama bin Laden did not plan it, who did? Who is really responsible for the deaths of those almost 3,000 Americans? And then who's responsible for all the deaths of the people who've died in Afghanistan? Hundreds of thousands. Who's died for the responsible for all the people who've died in Iraq? Hundreds of thousands of people. Because after all, we're told we're over there fighting terrorism. We're not fighting terrorism over there. We're promoting terrorism over there. We've occupied a country and the people are fighting to get their country back. It's about time Americans understood that. And of course, there's far more threat of terrorism today than there ever was before. But we've had 5 years since the 9/11 attack, not one major terrorist attack in America. The government has refused to close the southern border, and if they were really concerned about the threat of terrorism, they would have done it. They would not have a catch-and-release system for the people who come in from Islamic countries, who are caught violating our laws and coming across our southern border, and are caught by the immigration people, border patrol, and then immediately released. Why would you catch people and then release them and tell them to come back for a deportation hearing when they're not going to? If there is really a threat of terrorism, and we could go right on down the line, our pilots are not armed. They have marshals on probably less than 10% of our planes. They don't bother to check the cargo going onto our planes. And yet in 5 years, we've never had another major attack in America. Are we being lied to at every turn? Is our perception being controlled? Now, you don't really need an attack. All you need is television programs telling us about the threat of attacks, television programs that depict the good guys getting the bad guys just before they set off the atom bomb or poison our water with ricin or create a dirty bomb or something of the sort. Television becomes our reality, so you really don't need another major attack. You've created that perception in the minds of the people. And remember, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it will be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. You can get those videos we talked about by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And after watching him, you'll know what happened that morning. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow evening, we'll be back again. May the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.